To have you this morning, the first day of the new year, to serve the Lord and seek His lovely face. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like you to turn to one of the Psalms, which speaks so dramatically about the Lord's faithfulness to us. Psalm 65, please. Psalm 65. And you notice that the superscription reads, "To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David." Psalm 65. And as our usual experience is, we'll stand to read the Word of God and sit down to pray. Shall we stand, please? Hear the word of the Lord. Praise waits for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, who stills the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest it the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof." Listen to this one. "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing." May the blessing of the Lord attend the reading and the hearing of His precious word. Thank you. You may be seated. Let us all turn to the Lord in prayer, please. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee with grateful thanks for allowing us once more to gather in this place. It says here in the text that blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causes to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We don't dwell here, Lord, but it's so wonderful to be here. We thank Thee. We praise Thee. Whatever else the world does or other people do who are our friends and loved ones, we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou dost find us in this place so we could worship Thee, to dwell in Thy presence, to hear the voice of God, to sing His praises, to utter our prayers, to give of our substance to the Lord, to tell the Lord that we love Him. Oh God, this special opportunity that we have today. I thank thee for the comfortable place, the chairs we sit on, the warmth of the building, for all the blessings that are here for us to enjoy. We give thee thanks and praise and honor and glory. And we're here in a quiet place, Lord, so we can spend time absorbing what thou dost want to say to us. Oh God, we give thee humble and grateful thanks and praise. I thank thee for my brothers and sisters who are here today, those on my left and those on my right, whom thou hast sent here, for every family unit, for every brother and sister who is a mother and a father, for all the children who are here. Oh God, we give thee thanks and praise and honor and glory. To thee belongs everything that we have. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, and we want thee to know that this morning. We thank thee for the meeting last night and the hours we spent here in this place. And now, Lord, a new and a fresh year, and the first Lord's Day of the new year to be found in this place. Our Father, we thank thee and praise thee. We worship thee from our hearts. I want to pray, Lord, for those who are less fortunate than we are, who are not able to be with us. And we remember on a regular basis those dear friends and loved ones who are members of our fellowship and some who are not, but who do not have the wherewithal physically to gather in a place like this. Although some are here this morning who have difficulty, but for whom we pray. I pray for Gene Balakovich and for Chuck Cartwright and for our sister Worthington. We thank thee, Lord, for these people and for the Cornelacuses and for the Beards. Oh, Father, we just commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace and their special concerns. I pray, Lord, for Jennifer Bowerbanks and for Martha Hall and the struggles that they've had with this terrible disease of cancer. I think also of Henny and Ernest Louie up there in Toronto and how she struggles from day to day to breathe. Oh God, have mercy upon her. And for Harlan Sullivan down there in Defiance, Ohio, and for Dr. Ki Ng and his wife Olive in Sydney, and for Al and Edna Matz in Pennsylvania. Our Heavenly Father, these are dear friends for whom we always pray and seek thy face. I pray, Lord, this morning also for Ethel Panero and for Mary Pine. May these dear women know the blessing of God upon their hearts and lives. I think of our sister Sunny Yoon and the traumatic experience through which she passed in the last few months. Give her grace and ability to stand in the midst of all the difficulties which have come her way. May she know the blessing of God. I think also of Jewel Stewart, Jewel Gray, and the homegoing of her husband, Stewart, just a few days ago, Lord. We will never know the suffering which some of the folks who are here in our congregation go through with the loss of their loved one. But thou art able to make it up, Lord. And we cry out to thee this morning. Give them joy and delight. I pray for Brother George Jordan and his wife Rosie and for little Russell. God, may the hand of thy good hand be upon them in their great needs before the Lord. I pray for my brother Mbala, who's waiting upon the Lord to see his good hand, to give him the wherewithal, Lord, to continue in his activities here at the university. Thou art able, Lord, to do exceeding abundantly, and we thank thee and praise thee for it. I want to pray for the young people who were baptized just a few weeks ago, for Chinya and for Anna Widgen and for Daniel and Olivia Nkanga. Oh, God, keep these young people true to the Lord and true to His word, and we'll thank Thee and praise Thee for what Thou art going to do in their lives. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege to pray together today and to seek the face of the one with whom we have to do, our faithful and unchangeable friend. We just praise Thee, Lord, and exalt Thy wonderful name. I thank Thee, Lord, for bringing to us this morning Pastor Schmidt-Bleicher, a longtime friend, and Lord, to give us a word this morning. I pray that Thou bless his tongue to give us something which is fruitful and helpful, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You for David Yanga leading us in the singing this morning, and for his sister at the piano. We are grateful for these dear friends to participate with us, to hold down the needs which are before us. We thank Thee. I pray for little Sydney Hope as she's going to play this morning, that You give her grace and ability far beyond her expectation. And may she not be fearful, but stalwart to stand for the Lord and do what is pleasing to Him. We just thank Thee, dear Father. And Father, I also pray this morning for our country, for the boys in service, those in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other parts of the world. Oh, Father, bring them back soon, we pray. And for those mothers and fathers who daily seek the face of God and wonder, what is God going to do? We just pray that Thou will care for them. I think of Benjamin Howison this morning. Lord, give him a happy time with his family and preserve him, Lord. Do not allow evil to come nigh his dwelling, and keep him by the grace of God. We want to pray too, Lord, for what we heard last night about that family from BIMI who went out with great faith and trust in the Lord and yet suffered the loss of the entire family for the sake of the gospel. Give us a dedication and a commitment to the Lord of that sort. And I pray that Thou wilt grant to us in this place the movement of the Spirit of God to give us that desire before the Lord to be those who are pleasing to the Lord in everything that we do and say. We pray about this, our Father. I pray about the young people who are in the class from the university here, and we pray that Thou prosper that ministry to the glory and praise of Thy lovely Son. For some of our missionaries who are in great need, we do pray, scattered in different parts of the world. And I pray especially for those who labor amongst Israel, that there may be a strengthening of their hands, and that many from the household of Israel will turn to God and be saved. I pray for Leonard Mesnar particularly, Lord, and his dear wife Donna, with all the difficulties and problems that they suffer, may they know the hand of the Lord upon them. Thank Thee, Lord, for allowing us to pray rather extensively this morning, but nonetheless not with pain, but with joy, that we have a God who hears and answers prayer, like this text we read this morning. Unto Thee shall all flesh come. And we come as those who are just nothing, Lord, but we turn to a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Quiet our hearts before the Lord this morning, and may this be a service long to be remembered when God did something new and fresh and precious in our lives. We ask in His wonderful and worthy name with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. Again, a word of thanks to all of you for coming this morning and to participate with us. It was good that we didn't have Sunday school, because I don't know if anybody would have showed up. But at any rate, thank you for coming. And I just want to give a little report about last night. We had such a wonderful meeting of 3.5 hours. And there was a great competition between Dr. Nkanga and Dwayne Reed as to who could conduct the singing better. You should have seen Nkanga lead the singing. I don't know why he isn't our choir leader, but then he didn't have the baton that Dwayne had, so maybe get the two of them together. But it was really lots of fun. But I do ask you to pray for Brother Dwayne, because he has a propensity to favor the women over the men. Yeah. And we're giving him some time to recant and admit that he was wrong and that we were right. We had to have the desk up here changed so it would face us, because there was so much favoritism on the other side. Yeah. And then I think that the problem is that Dwayne is afraid of his wife. But I told her as she left last night, I'm still not afraid of her. But anyway, if you missed it last night, please try to come at the end of this year, if the Lord tarries. And we had lots of good food to eat and a lot of sweets to fatten us up, as my sister Crowther said, or sweeten me up or whatever. That was really a blessing. It was wonderful. There will be a service tonight at 6 o'clock, and Pastor Matt will be giving the word. All the other announcements are there for you to read at your leisure by the grace of the Lord. I just call your attention to the fact that Dr. Mitchell will be here in a couple of weeks to give the word, and his ministry and dental ministry around the world has been very, very helpful and useful. But Dwayne tells me last night, I don't know whether Dr. Mitchell knows this, that dentists are one of the largest professions in medicine who commit suicide. So I'll have to tell Mitchell that to be careful. But he's a man of God, and he will be here with great joy. Thank you so much. Now, for those of you here for the first time, we do take an offering here. It's the only offering that is received in our church. And we ask you to give as unto the Lord. And the men will receive the gifts. And then we'll sing the doxology afterwards. I want to help you to help yourself. If you have had some gifts that you wanted to give during 2005, just circle that. I have several in my hand, and I put down 123005 with a red mark, so that will be towards the giving for the last year. This is an awkward day in which to have to say this, but April 15 will come, and you will give a report of what you gave in 2005. And if you want your credit on that, please indicate that, and our treasurer will see to it that it's cared for accordingly. We'll ask the men to come now, please. Thank you. Is there somebody on this side? Thank you. Sidney Pope is going to play for us while we give to the Lord. for that for about 3 weeks, dear. Yeah. She was here one night and got sick and had to leave, but thank you so much. That was very sweet indeed. Now you have to do it more frequently. Thank you, dear. Let us stand to sing. Praise God from home, all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Bill Smith, please lead us in our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. Once again, Lord, in humbleness of heart, we thank you, Lord, for these gifts which you've allowed us to give back to you, Lord. You own everything. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be better stewards of our funds this upcoming year, Lord, this year, and help us to be wise stewards, Lord, of what you give us. And just pray that these funds that are given will be used to spread the gospel locally and afar, and that more souls will be saved and brought into the eternal kingdom, Lord. We ask this in Christ's name and with thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, I don't know who the musical ministry is tomorrow. You are, Betty. All right, thank you. Thank you, sister.
Cross. the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost gone, those things are done. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost.
All of us will remember last night the video of Joe and his wife and six children. And they gave everything. The ones that went to the Alka Indians did the same. And that brother who was in the airplane that was shot down in South America not too long ago, same thing. It costs. Mala Mo used to say that to us in Swaziland, that the cost of the gospel, it cost. But there are so few who want to pay the cost. May the Lord help us this morning. Yeah. Please come and lead us, brothers. The children have the opportunity to go out. Is that right? Someone taking the children today? All right. Thank you so much.
Take your hymn book and turn to hymn 458. Hymn 458, Draw Me Nearer. Please stand as we sing.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it all thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of thee, being closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer.
We're going to give the opportunity this morning for you to sit back and listen to two sermons. I will give mine at the end of the meeting, but I've asked my brother Paul Schmidt-Bleicher, who was at the old Grace Bible Church on Staten Huron back in the 60s. And he had to remind me this morning, or his wife did, that I actually performed the wedding for them. And they've been married 37 years, so you can see how long we've known each other. When he left the University of Michigan, he ultimately went to Dallas Seminary to study for the ministry. And he's a pastor out in Washington State now. So we might tell your family to look them up when somehow out there. And we rejoice in the opportunity to have fellowship with him. He wrote to me an email when I was having some problems a few years back. And then he chided me for not writing to him back. But at any rate, he called the other day and said he was in the Detroit area. And I said, well, why don't you come over here and fellowship with us and have some ministry, and we'll provide a dinner for you too. So he's here this morning for that purpose, and we just to praise the Lord. So I've been giving him some of my time of ministry, but I'm looking forward to what he has to say to us. May you be blessed of the Lord as you share with us, brother. Thank you. Thank you. His good wife is with him too. They have lived together for 37 years now. Keep it up. We have 52. Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you, Dr. Sachs. Dr. or Pastor Sachs? Either one. I guess I learned to call him Dr. Sachs when I was back at the University of Michigan. And I guess what you're going to see this morning from me is some of the fruit of Dr. Sachs's ministry. Again, as a pastor, I've learned that we only sometimes have the sheep that the Lord gives us for a very little time. They kind of pass through. And oftentimes, you know, as a pastor, and I'm sure Dr. Sachs maybe thinks the very same way, that we may get a little over-involved with some of the lives of the sheep, and we don't realize that they're his sheep, and that it's basically our job as pastor to do the Lord's bidding, to give them the Word of God, give you folks the Word of God, and the opportunities that the Lord lays before you during the time that you're with us. And it was just that case back in 1965 through 67. I was only at the University of Michigan for 2 years. And it was at the old Grace Bible Church for the semesters during that time period. There were 4 semesters that I was there. And this new year actually marks an anniversary for myself, in that on February 6th of 1966, Dr. Sachs gave a message in the evening service. And in that message, part of the message was an invitation to anyone who might like to dedicate their lives to full-time Christian service. There were several of us young people who came forward. I was one of those young people who came forward at that time, and not knowing really where that was leading me as an engineering student, I might add, at the University of Michigan. I was in the electrical engineering college there. And I also was sharing roommates. Actually, I had 3 roommates at what was then University Towers. I don't know if it's still there or not. But one of those roommates was a man named Ron Perrine, who was here at the university to study linguistics because it was his calling to go forth to Thailand. He had just graduated from Moody Bible Institute, and he had a full library of Moody Bible Institute books that he had gotten while he was there during that 3-year stint that he spent at Moody. And I found myself kind of leaving off the books in electrical engineering and going to his library, and together with the teaching that Dr. Sachs was providing for us and the notes that he was giving out to us, as I saw he had a handout for you folks this morning, that was becoming far, far more interesting to me than the engineering books that I was studying. I decided it was time to, at that point, listen to the voice that the Lord was giving me within, that still small voice within, that really, maybe this isn't the spot for you. You need to be somewhere else. And I inquired into Detroit Bible College, which I was from Detroit, lived in Detroit all my life, the Lower East Side of Detroit, and discovered that I could take the 2 years that I had at the University of Michigan, put them together with three more years at Detroit Bible College, and come out with a Bachelor of Theology degree. With that, I went on to Dallas Seminary. And then the first church which my wife and I pastored was in Iowa for 15 years. Grace Believers Church, we called it. We taught the word there. Faithful as Pastor Sachs has been, I'm sure, to you folks. And then we were called out to Seattle, to Evergreen Baptist Church in Seattle, is where we're currently serving the Lord since 1989, the second church. My wife's name, by the way, she's with me. Her name is Marion. It's Marion. If she gets many different pronunciations of that. They usually call me, they use that long name at my church. It's just too long for the children. It's Paul Schmidt-Bleicher, but they all call me Pastor Paul to make it a little bit easier on the children. Well, Dr. Sachs wanted me to share something with you this morning from the Word of God. And what I'd like to do, really, is something on the new year, since this is the first day of the year. And I realize if you're like myself and my wife, we've probably were up a little later than we normally are, and so I don't want to take too much time nor bore you with what I'm about to say. But New Year's Day has actually changed to many different days throughout throughout the years that it's been observed. Originally, it was the 21st of December, and then when the Roman Empire came into play, that was changed to the 21st of September, and then it was changed to the 21st of December. And then during the time of the Julian calendar, the church began to observe the new year as Annunciation Day, as they had it in the church calendar, the 25th of March. And it wasn't until 1582, when the Gregorian calendar came into play, that it was changed to the current date that we celebrate it on January 1st, as we are today. Now, of course, we're not interested in all of that. We're interested in what God has to say about it, if anything, about the new year. The Jews actually function on two separate calendars as we look to the Word of God. One is the agricultural calendar, in which they celebrate their new year, known as Rosh Hashanah. Again, not too long ago that was celebrated. The word Rosh meaning the head, and Hashanah dealing with the year, the head of the year, is what they are dealing with. And it's observed in the autumn at the end of September or early October. Really, it coincides with the first new moon after the fall equinox is when that takes place. In the Bible, it also coincides with the Jewish Feast of Trumpets, which is named at that time the first day of the seventh month, as far as the Jews were concerned. That was their agricultural calendar, and that's what's commonly and currently observed by Jewish folks today. The second calendar is the one that we're going to look at briefly this morning. It's the spiritual calendar, as I would like to call it. It's the one that God himself built, beginning with the actual Passover, as they celebrated Jewish freedom from Pharaoh, from the land of Egypt, and from the bondage that they found themselves under in that time period of their history. The agricultural calendar, again, as I said, is found throughout the Word of God. We'll just dispense with that and not take too much time on that. But if you turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, first. Exodus chapter 12. Got five passages that we're going to look at very briefly this morning. But the beginning of the spiritual calendar in Exodus chapter 12 is where it's found. And I'll read to you, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginnings of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." And of course, it was the establishment of the Passover celebration that was going to take place. In the eyes of the Lord, the new year would begin spiritually for his people in the plan of deliverance that he had as he would take them out from under the bondage of Egypt. And in the beginning of months was the start of that year, as the Lord would announce it at that point. God would explain to Moses, of course, going beyond that, as the Passover celebration was laid out for them, that they were to pick a lamb on the 10th day and then watch it until the 14th day. And of course, it was on that day that the actual Passover took place. Now, as we all know, as believers, the important part of many of those rituals, as well as feast days, and in some cases the analogies of the Old Testament, pertain to the spiritual life that we share as believers. It's rich with typology and understanding. as we look again to the land of Egypt, the picture of bondage, it is also a picture of our own lives as sinners, as we enter into the world lost, as we enter the world under the condemnation of God. All have sinned and come short of His glory, the Bible says, His standards that He sets before us. And we find ourselves in that spot, much as Israel did in the land of Egypt, under the bondage of the Egyptian taskmasters. And, of course, the Lord would take them out from that bondage, and that would become the first of their year, as the Lord would establish the spiritual calendar. And so the application to us, as we would look at it as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as this new year, should begin with a setting aside of any of the sins that may have encumbered our lives over the past year of 2005. Those things which we tried but failed in. We're not perfect. None of us are. And that's the glories of the grace of God, and that He provides for us again, not only our salvation, but after our salvation, a way to take care of the ongoing pitfalls that we fall into and the sins that we commit as we acknowledge them and confess them, as 1 John 1:9 or 1 Corinthians 11:31 would point out to us. It may very well be where the root of the idea of New Year's resolutions comes from. Well, with the understanding of that spiritual calendar that the Lord has laid down for us, I want to take very briefly now four other incidents. There's about eight or nine of them that we find in the Scriptures where the first day of the first month is mentioned, and basically just look at what happened on the first day of the first month and how it might relate to us in 2006 as we celebrate the new year this morning. So if you turn next in your Bible to Genesis, back in your Bible, to Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. Genesis 8:13. Here we're in the end of the flood of Noah. And, of course, as you well know, the pre-flood world with all of its corruption, again, was to be destroyed by the Lord God, Noah, and his family of eight. Noah preached the message for 120 years. My assumption is that he had seven who accepted the message, his family, basically, his wife and three sons and their wives. And eight of them entered into the ark, and they would spend 40 days and 40 nights in rain as the waters fell from both the heavens as well as the fountains of the deep burst open. And then another 150 days before the waters began to subside, and the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. And then in Genesis 8:13 we read, in verse 13, it came to pass, in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Again, after nearly a year of judgment, really, upon this earth, as God was not only wiping out the corruption, but actually reshaping the earth, as those who've studied in the area of creationism and the importance of the flood. In fact, I have to digress just for a moment. One of the really neat things that Dr. Sachs introduced us to in that, those 2 years that I was at the University of Michigan is that he brought in Dr. John Whitcomb, who had just come out with the book, The Genesis Flood. And we had a Bible science conference at that point. He also brought in Dr. John Walbert for a prophecy conference. And boy, you know, I was just living in, just it was just heaven for me. And all those things, the Lord was using that fruit to direct me. And then my fiance at that time, Marion, became my fiance while I was at the University of Michigan, and I was just sharing all those things with her. And we became excited together about the possibilities of where God was leading us. She would actually spend the first year together with me at Detroit Bible College as we went to school together after leaving University of Michigan. I think the Lord gave that kind of as an added incentive to make that change in my life. Well, as we see from this passage, again, the spiritual new year for Noah would begin with that preparation for a new beginning. Here the earth was washed and cleansed and made clean and ready for this family of eight to go out. And as the rest of Genesis 8 and into Genesis 9 gives us what I call the rainbow covenant that was made. Not only included, of course, the colors in the sky, but also the eating of meat would be allowed. A rehearsal of the fact that they would replenish the earth, multiply, reproduce, replenish the earth. And then human government was to be given over to, God was delegating it now to the human race to handle the crime and the ultimate areas of sin, where capital punishment would be placed into the human race at that point. So the new year represented to Noah, again, a cleansed earth and a great potential to go forth. And I think the same thing is true of all of us here today. As we look forward to 2006, it's a new opportunity to right the wrongs that may not have been quite handled right in 2005, or to make the decisions that we were going to do, you know, I was just going to do that, and it didn't get handled. It's a new beginning, a new way to start. Next one I'd have you turn to is Numbers chapter 9. Move ahead. I've tried to organize these now kind of chronologically as we move forward in the Bible. So Numbers chapter 9 next we will look at. Numbers 9. And the first two verses of Numbers 9. Numbers 9, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. Now what we learn from this passage is that Moses was approached at this point in his ministry. They were to be reminded of the basis of their freedom as they're out in the wilderness. And that basis for their freedom from Egypt, again, in the literal understanding of this portion of God's word, was the fact that, you know, they had been delivered by the Lord out from under the bondage of Pharaoh and the bondage of their taskmasters. And so we, as we think about the new year and where we are beginning this year, we need to step back and remember the day and the joy of our own salvation, because that's the thing that bought our freedom. As the Lord set us free from the bondage of sin. And I realize some of you here probably are what I've called cradle Christians. You may have never known the bondage of sin in the sense of having lived out in the world and been beaten down by it and finally recognized the grace of God and come to the Lord. And it's not a place you want to go to try out, to be sure. But nevertheless, again, just living day by day is, for all of us, again, sometimes a hard task to do. But it's the grace of God and it's His salvation that has freed us, ultimately that has cut the power to that sin nature that seeks to work in our lives. As the Bible says in Romans 6, we're dead to sin. We no longer have to serve it. We are to live in newness of life. And that's what Moses would have been reminding as they came under this second Passover, to be reminded of the Lord being the basis of freedom and the basis of what was yet before them. Now that generation had not yet, again, come to the 14th chapter of Numbers, where they were going to murmur and complain to the point that God said, you're going to die in the wilderness. They were still looking forward to the promised land. Third passage I would have you turn to is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Jump ahead to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and there's three verses there that we want to look at. This occurs during the days of Hezekiah, and in the preceding years, much evil had been involved, many evil rulers, I should say, had ruled over God's people. However, Hezekiah would desire to follow the faith of King David and to bring his people back to the Lord during his reign, and we read in 2 Chronicles 29, and I guess I better get to the right page here. Verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And you know what that says to me? That says maybe in 2005... you weren't here at Fellowship Bible Church as oft as you ought to have been. Hezekiah, as the beginning of the year, in the beginning of his reign, opened the house of the Lord, repairing them where it was needed and necessary, making the choice and the decision to start the new year, not only realizing and re-experiencing the joy of salvation, but also, again, making that commitment that this year I'm going to be there to hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to repair those areas of my own life which have led me not to do, you know, what I ought to have been doing. As Dr. Sachs and others faithfully minister God's word to you, it's a new opportunity to commit yourself once again to those things. And finally, I'd have you turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 29. Ezekiel chapter 29. In this passage, Ezekiel, again, a prophet of the Lord God, and he's setting forth some aspects of the judgment of the Lord God. And I just want to read it first for you. Chapter 29, beginning in verse 17 is where we'll read. 29, beginning in verse 17. And this is the Lord giving Ezekiel kind of a bird's eye view of what is about to take place and how how the Lord God is going to work in the days and ahead, as far as Ezekiel was concerned. It came to pass in the 7th and 20th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, so notice, New Year's Day, as far as God's spiritual calendar is concerned, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald and every shoulder was peeled, yet he had no wages, nor his army for Tyrus, for the service that he had served against it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord God. In that day will I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth. I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, the message is really simple, although it appears as we read it to be quite detailed with all of the names and things that are going on. But God informed Ezekiel that he was using Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, as his rod against the many ungodly nations that were round about them. They destroyed Tyre, an enemy nation to Israel, expended much effort against it, but they'd not been physically repaid for their labors. Therefore, the Lord would use them again against Egypt, and there they would be well paid, as the passage says, for their labors. You know, sometimes, as the Bible relates, he makes the wrath of men to praise him. He takes even the unbeliever sometimes to make the way for we who are believers. And in fact, the scriptures go on to say that even the inheritance that is ours many times is what the unbeliever has built up, and the Lord will give it to us. Well, the Lord then went on to inform Israel that in this new year that he had provided for increased opportunities for his people to bud forth or to spring forth, as that 21st verse tells us, and give them great blessing. And so as we also look forward to this new year of 2006, one of the things we can wait upon and trust the Lord in is the great blessing that he will have for you. If you remember the joy of your salvation, if you are faithful in your coming before him to hear the word of God, but not only to hear it, be not only a hearer, but also a doer of God's word, again, that blessing that Ezekiel speaks of will be yours. And the goal, again, for all of us has to do with, you know, witnessing. Let us put to mind those people that we may have not talked to in 2005 that we may need to speak with, to reflect upon more and more what the Word of God has to say to us and where it conflicts sometimes with our thinking. You know, that's really what we are here for, as the Word of God is taught to not only be instructed in righteousness, but also to be reproved and corrected, as 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us. And the reproofs of the Word of God are sometimes hard to take. But nevertheless, if we hear them and heed them again and are corrected by them, there will be that great blessing and pouring forth of the Lord's blessing onto us. I want to thank you for the brief opportunity that Dr. Sachs gave me to speak to you this morning. Let me just close in a word of prayer, and then I'll turn the service over to Dr. Sachs. Shall we pray? Father, once again, we thank you for this wonderful and faithful congregation that has gathered this morning to Fellowship Bible Church and for this ministry here. We ask, Heavenly Father, that as they look to the new year, that they would, each of them, again, reflect upon the joy of their salvation and in thankfulness and gratitude to the great cost that it cost your Son, Jesus Christ, upon that cross. That each here might recommit themselves to faithfulness as they support this ministry and this church and hear your word where you have designated this place for them to hear it. And that they would be blessed, Heavenly Father, as your word is poured forth and as they are faithful to its principles and precepts. And we ask these things now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
62 going on for more.
Thank you.
Amen. Precious. Thank you very, very much. Mine would be an anticlimax to that wonderful message. Thank you so much. I think we'll just sing the last verse, and I'll save my sermon for next week. Thank you very much. The problem is, dear friend, what are you going to do with what you hear? See, what does James say? Be not hearers only, but doers thereof, and to respond. Maybe it's time for you to decide, you men, every Saturday I'm going to be here. Is there some reason why you can't be here to pray? We pray for some of you fellas to show up on a Saturday morning to pray. The needs for prayer are certainly incredible. We pray for some of you to get actively involved in what's going on here. The burden is on a few people. Isn't it time that you change and say, Lord, I'm available? Some of you I know, see, I've been around too long. You used to be, but you're a has-been instead of a present person. You used to be something. You used to do that. Don't you think it's time to change and give yourself to the Lord's service? It's all up to you. The sum and substance of what I wanted to say, I can give you in one overhead, and I'd like to give that to you to sort of support what our brother has said. It's not know what we know, but what we do with what we know. Most of us know a lot. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes we have spiritual indigestion. We've had so much, so we need some Rolaids. Somehow to say, God, you know, I feel bloated. But man, get busy, do something. And it seems to me that the formula is RT, rate times time, will give you some distance. It moves you towards perfection, the word teleios. We have all the time there is. You're not going to get any more, friend. You don't have any more than I do. And I don't have any more than you do. It's the time. But we want to increase the rate. And our brother brought many, many areas in our lives which we can increase the rate. And that's the sum and substance of what our brother's been saying. We've got the time. Well, if you want to give it time, you pardon me for saying this, but, well, I don't apologize. It's what you do with your time. We had a TV brought here last night that was given by one of the men of this church because he decided that he wasn't going to use it anymore.
Can't
he decided not to use the television any longer. That was 2 months ago. So that's time available to the Lord. We can't dictate to you. You are yourself a servant of the Lord. You're an adult. You're a mature person. It's what you do now. And I just ask you in the name of the Lord to change the rate. Do something. I sometimes see Christine come in here. The girl works all the week long, the weekends. I guess she's working this weekend again. But she pitches up on a Sunday morning after working all night long. You can't help but bypass somebody like that and say, hey, boy, that's a lot of dedication and commitment. And I just summarize this one little word, dear friend. You only got one life to live. One life to live. Our sister Yoon sitting over there, her husband decided to retire. He'd only retired for 1 year, and the Lord took him home. How much time
do you have yet to go?
You haven't counted yet. Wait till you get to be my age.
Then you begin to
say, well, have we got 5 years, 1 year, 4 years, 10 years, what? My sister's a little
older than I am.
And she's made it very clear to me that she says she's the next one to be going. Who knows? My friend Stuart Gray, on the 4th of December, the 4th of December, he was fine. The 21st of December, he was in heaven. My friend, stop and think about it. It's a great opportunity to say, Lord, here am I. Don't sit home, you fellas, on Saturday morning. And don't sit home when you come to Sunday school. Come here. Learn. Do whatever you can. There's plenty of opportunity here. And then there's souls out there who need Christ. Use your gospel tracts. Pass them on. Be bold for the Lord. You only pass here one time. What's that little phrase? Only one life will soon be passed. Only will stand for Christ the last. Yeah. God bless you. These are things we all know. It's just to jog our memories and knock one another's heads and say, hey, wake up. Let's be doing something for God's glory and praise. Bless you, dear friends. It's nice to have you here. I think we need to just close in
prayer.
We'll sing the last hymn and then pray some more. Loving Heavenly Father,
I thank you for my brother Schmidt-Bleicher and what he's brought to our attention. And Lord, I just pray that
the first day of the month will always remind us of our responsibility to thank God for his redemptive work, to be in the place where we can build those areas where we can worship the Lord. Oh God, work in our hearts, I pray. May we not just say, well, I went to church again, and the pastor tirated against me. But may we just acknowledge that the Word of God grips our hearts and comes to uncover those areas in our lives which are uncommitted to the living God. Oh, Father, hear our prayer. We ask in the precious name of the Lord Jesus and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.